This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for KnowHow is brought to you by CashFly.
Today on KnowHow,
Cayenne triggers the Internet of Things.
KnowHow is a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I am Father Robert Balasair.
And I'm Patrick Delahanty.
And for the next however many minutes it takes, we're going to be opening up your brain like it's an Internet of Thing, and we're going to exploit it with a zero day and dump a bunch of data into it.
Yikes.
That's actually not how that normally works. Normally I exfiltrate. But whatever, folks. We're all about the Internet of Things with a caveat. Patrick, you're with me. You're kind of an IT geek, a security person.
Yeah.
Does the Internet of Things have a great reputation for security?
Oh, no.
No.
Let's hack into everything.
Yeah, it's been one of these things where IoT is awesome. It's super fun to play with. The idea of having sensors everywhere, actuators everywhere, control systems everywhere has always been one of these things where, like, yeah, I want to live in a world like that. Except when you take all those devices and you put them on the Internet and you put no security in front of them so that people can basically come in and do what they want, that creates not good things.
It's like laying out a welcome mat in front of your home.
Yeah.
And welcome to my Internet of Things. Here, enjoy.
Yeah, and especially with a lot of IoT devices using sort of off-the-shelf components that can be readily reprogrammed and repurposed to do other things like, say, I don't know, run a botnet or a DDoS net. That's a problem. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to introduce the Kitas, the know-it-all audience, to a way to do Internet of Things that maybe isn't as, exploitorific. Yeah. What do you think?
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. All right, but in order to get there, what we're going to do is we're actually going to frame this around a question that one of our Kitas had not too long ago in the Google Plus group, which, by the way, you should join. Just go to Google Plus and look for Noah. Yeah, you're part of it. You're a mod, I think.
No, I'm not.
I will make you a mod. But once you're in there, you get to read questions like this from Hector Sotomayor.
Hector writes, I need a security solution. What I'm looking for is this. When someone steps on our porch, some motion sensors will detect them and send me a notification on my phone. Also, it sets off strobe lights to alert anyone passing by and to potentially warn the thief that we know he's on the premises.
Now, there are off-the-shelf solutions that you can use for this that are basically motion-sensing floodlights,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But he wants a little extra something. He wants to be able to send a notification to his phone. Maybe he wants to expand on it a little bit later. Mm-hmm. That's what the IoT is very good at. The IoT is good at sort of just adding pieces and components and doing sort of the IFTTT, the IFT, what I call it. If this happens and this happens, then that happens. Or if these three things happen, then that other thing happens. That's the kind of logic you want to build up, and that's what the Internet of Things is really good at. But we just need a way to do Internet of Things without exposing everything to the Internet.
Yeah. And also, this is KnowHow, where people like to make their own things.
Yes.
So that's, learn how it is created yourself.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. So, the first thing, let's break down the requirements. First of all, it's going to need some sort of motion sensor. He's got
obviously
a porch or an area that evidently he can coordinate off. And if there's any motion that's not him, he knows, okay, there's a problem.
Right.
Secondly, he wants some sort of floodlight. He wants the ability to sort of warn off the intruder or maybe to ask other people nearby to help. You know, the whole, if there's a strobe, if there's some sort of weird light going on, people are going to investigate.
Yeah, you know, if there's somebody weird coming up on your porch, you want to light them up so that everybody can see. If you're not home and you don't get that alert, maybe one of your neighbors will be like, oh, the light went on and I see some guy there trying to, with a crowbar.
And the other thing is sometimes you want to turn on a floodlight because that also means now the camera is running.
Yes.
And that's what people might
better
be thinking.
Better picture.
It's a better picture. And also, and this was the part where it's not so off the shelf. There are products that do this, but they're few and far between. Actually, one of them is a sponsor on the Twitch TV network. And that is to get a notification on your phone. Now, that gets a little tricky when we're doing IoT because a lot of those proprietary solutions have some sort of app that runs in the background and can throw a notification. So what I thought is, why not use a software solution that allows you to send, say, text messages?
Yeah, and a text message would be great if you don't want to use a smartphone. If you're somebody's grandparent and you don't have a smartphone, you can just get a text.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to do. That's sort of the project breakdown. And what I want to do is I want to use a solution called Cayenne by My Devices. Now, Cayenne is an Internet of Things suite. It's completely free for now. I mean, they're probably going to add pro accounts, and you can eventually pay for more sustainability and connectivity so that you don't, your products don't fall apart. But it is a way to leverage existing components, existing sensors, existing single board computers, and an existing infrastructure to do things like sending text messages.
Yeah.
So in order to do this, let's look at the parts that I'm going to be using. If you go to the overhead, this is the first thing. Now this, if you've ever seen the show or a Maker show at all, you know what this is. This is a Raspberry Pi. This actually happens to be, what, a 2B. So it's not that old. I wouldn't do this with a 1. It works with a 1, but a 1 is so slow compared to a 2 or a 3. At least get yourself a 2. You can find one of these for about probably about $25. They're not that expensive anymore because there's a 3. The 3 will run you about $40, but everything that I'm about to show you works just fine on a 2B. The other thing you're going to want is this. You're going to want some sort of 5-volt power supply. The reason for this is normally you would power a Raspberry Pi off of the USB port. That's not going to provide us enough power because we're going to have to do things like trip a relay and power a sensor. And also, you don't really want a device that's going to be outside to be USB powered. It doesn't work well. This can all be internal, and you know this is only going to cost you about $3, so why not do it that way? You're also going to need some sort of relay. Now, we've got a link to a relay there, Alex. This is the one I would suggest. It's an optomechanical. It isolates the load from the trigger, and these things are not that expensive. They're about $2. This will allow you to drive, up to 10 amps, 250 volts AC, any device with just a 5-volt signal.
Nice.
So this is what you want. Get yourself one of these. We've actually done a know-how before where we did relays during the IR projects. And we also need some sort of motion detector. And believe it or not, these are actually quite inexpensive if you go to the overhead. This is a standard PIR. It's an infrared module. If I take over the little diffuser here, that's actually the sensor. This is driven off of 5-volt logic on the back here. So I need ground 5 volts, and then I've got one more pin. That's the signal. And this is super, super simple. I can adjust my parameters here for delay and sensitivity of the sensor. And then down here, if it triggers, it just sends a high signal. It's otherwise it's low, mm-hmm. and then when it detects motion, it's high. And then the delay says how long does it stay high. So I can adjust my sensitivity to trigger at a certain level of motion, and then the delay says how long do you stay on. Right. So with this, we're sub $40, really, if I'm using a Raspberry Pi 2. Ooh. This is not expensive. You will have to create yourself an enclosure, either with a 3D printer or buying an enclosure, just sticking everything in there. This whole episode is actually just sort of a first glimpse because I do want to make a finished product for one of these. This is kind of a cool project. Now, do you want to go ahead and jump into this?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. So the first thing we're going to have to do is we need to get My Devices. We need to get Cayenne on your Raspberry Pi. This is actually a super simple solution. Because it's only going to take two commands in the Raspberry Pi console for me to get Cayenne installed properly. So let's go ahead and do this. Let me bring this up. This is one that's already been booted because, it takes a while. Sorry. It's a Raspberry Pi. So this Raspberry Pi, if you go to the overhead, this Raspberry Pi is a 2B. Right now, I am powering it off of USB because I don't have any other devices connected to it. I am connected right now through my keyboard and HDMI, but once I'm done with this setup, I won't need any I/O anymore because it's going to do everything over its network connection. Now, if I wanted to do this wirelessly, either I would add a wireless dongle to the USB or I would get a Raspberry Pi 3 because a Raspberry Pi 3 has built-in wireless.
All right. Okay.
So let's go in. If you drop over to the Raspberry Pi... There we go. Okay, so I'm in the Cayenne dashboard. So this shows me the different devices I've got running. I've actually already configured a Raspberry Pi 3. I've got the Raspberry Pi 2 that we showed you at the start of the show. A couple of Arduino projects that I've been playing with. But I want to add a new one because this is a brand new Raspberry Pi 2. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the drop-down menu for Add New. I'm going to add a new device. It gives me a list of all the different devices that I can add. So I can add a Raspberry Pi. It also works with Arduino, although I have to say... If you're doing an Arduino project, you're going to run into the same issue that we've had so many times, and that is the network shields for Arduinos don't like all switches. Some switches it just refuses to work with. It's infuriating, so just know that. It also works with the ESPs. So if you want to play with ESP, especially with wireless connectivity, this is a very good solution because I can do all of the work in this interface. But in this case, I'm going to add a Raspberry Pi. And when I add a Raspberry Pi, there's two options. I can download a smartphone app that will allow me to configure it, or, and this is what we're going to do here, it's giving me this script that I can use, and it's already been customized for my device. So once this script works, it will automatically add that device to my list of devices, like Raspberry 3, Raspberry 2, etc. Now, there's people who are watching this right now going, oh, do you have to blur that out? No, because if you use that code, you will add your device to my account. Thank you.
So that could be fun.
That could be fun. I will have control over your Raspberry, which I think you probably don't want that. Okay. But I did that on my computer because the browser on the Raspberry is not great. It kind of works on Raspberry 3, Raspberry 2. It's a bear. If you switch back to the Raspberry 2, though, you can do this. So this is the exact same process. It just took 8 minutes for this to load up. What I have to do is I have to open up a terminal window, and then I'm going to copy these two lines. So the first one is this wget. It's going to reach out to the Cayenne servers, and it's going to go ahead and pull down some files, some installs. And then the sudo bash, sudo bash will run the script and install everything that's required. So let me open up a terminal, and we're going to run this one.
All right, let's grab the file.
Let's grab the file. Now let's go ahead and get the second one. So I need this. I'm going to copy that. Jump back over to my terminal. Paste this in. There you go. And now this is going to go ahead. It's got to uncompress the files. It's going to install them into the proper place. It's going to make all the changes in the UI so that this works properly. This is not going to keep you from using your Raspberry Pi. So if you wanted to still log into your Raspberry Pi, you can do it. But once this is done, what it's going to do is it's going to reboot, and then it's going to add itself to my inventory. Once it's in my devices, my Cayenne inventory, I can work with it without being connected to it at all. I don't need a keyboard. I don't need a mouse. I don't even need a display. It's going to be a headless device.
And how long does that process take to install? Grab the files real quick.
But yeah.
It's still running.
It's going to be running. Just know that depending on how fast your Raspberry Pi is, on last night on a 3, it took about 15 minutes.
Oh,
on a 2,
okay.
It's probably going to take closer to 30 minutes. On a 1, don't do it on a 1. just don't. But luckily, we've already configured one. I know, which is strange, right? It's like almost as if someone's thought about the demo ahead of time. If you go to the overhead, is a little something that we've been working on a while. This is also a Raspberry Pi 2. In fact, this is the Raspberry Pi 2 that's currently showing up in my inventory. This is the motion sensor, the infrared sensor. This is the relay. So that's the relay that I want to trigger. This whole breadboard is really unnecessary. I could have plugged these components directly in, but I wanted to make it a little easier for me to play around because, again, this is not a finished project. This is something just for funsies. Now, what it allows me to do, if I go back to my computer, you don't have to switch, Alex. I can currently toggle this relay. So this turning on and off, this is actually going through the internet. So I have to push. There we go. I'm going to push a little button on my screen. It can toggle that relay on and off. And actually, if you go to my screen, my computer, there we go. We can also see that the motion sensor has been set off. This is where it gets really, really exciting because once I've got control of this Raspberry Pi 2, I can do whatever I want with it. So, for example, I want to say add new device widget. Look at all the different things that I can add. Let's say sensors. So I've got temperature sensors. I've got light sensors. I've got pressure sensors, proximity and distance sensors, generic sensors so that you could sort of, fudge your own. I can do actuators. So, for example, light actuators, if I just want to turn light switch on and off, motor controllers, servo controllers, valves, if you want to control, say, irrigation, the one I'm using, which is a standard relay, because those are pretty dumb devices. And if you are doing any of the LoRa projects, they have so many. I mean, realistically, you can control pretty much everything. Just with a Raspberry Pi and a couple of these sensors and actuators.
Differential pressure?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got everything covered.
Yeah, they really do. Now, the other cool thing about this is, and we alluded to this at the top of the episode, a lot of IoT is insecure. It just can't handle being exposed to the public internet.
Right.
Well, with this, it's not. As long as your network is actually set up properly, this doesn't have to touch the internet at all. This is all behind your firewall because I am not reaching into this Raspberry Pi to change settings. What's happening is this Raspberry Pi is polling the Cayenne sensors. Okay. So as long as the Cayenne sensors are secured from the internet, which they are, it means that my IoT devices don't actually have to see or be seen by the internet. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's show you what we can do here. If you go back to my computer, right now we've got the digital motion sensor and we've got the relay switch. I do actually have an event trigger. I've disabled it because I was causing some strange things on the network. But typically what I would have done is I would have gone here to my triggers and I can tell it what to do. So let's go ahead and delete this. We're going to start over and I'm going to show you how easy it is to create sort of an if this then that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new trigger and I'm going to say, okay, if on the Raspberry Pi 2, and I'm going to have a list of devices here, so I could actually trigger from different devices. I could say, hey, when my Raspberry Pi in Florida triggers the barometric pressure sensor, turn on a light in California.
And this just says Raspberry Pi 1 because it's your first Raspberry Pi 2.
It's the first time I
added
it. Yeah, correct, okay. Correct. But it is a 2B.
Yes.
So I'm going to select the trigger. And right now I only have one sensor. So it's going to be the digital motion sensor connected to GPIO24. Now, some people are going to go, well, what's GPIO24? We'll show you in just a bit. I'm going to say when this is on, so when the digital motion sensor turns on, then, and here's where it gets cool, I can say either Raspberry Pi 3 or Raspberry Pi 2. I'm going to use this one. Then go ahead and turn on the relay. That's it. Oh, I'm going to call this strobe on. So let's say he's got his strobe connected to that relay. It means that when this trigger event happens, when the motion sensor is triggered, and I've actually allowed it to trigger the relay, then the relay will turn on and the light, in this case, it's got this, but in his case, it would be a strobe light, will automatically turn on. And the cool thing is I can actually turn it on and off. I can manually take control of that, and I can say, oh, I'm going to trigger it in the middle of the night. I can also add triggers based on scheduling. So I could schedule a time at which the strobe light would turn on and off, or I can schedule a time at which, say, an alarm might be armed. I can schedule a time at which the motion sensor might be on and ready to detect. Because what I can do is I can set like office hours or during office hours. I don't want to receive any alerts, but after office hours, yeah, go ahead and do that for me.
Now the little script you set up that turns it on when the motion sensor's on. Does it turn it off when
no.
the motion sensor?
Right.
So the light's going to stay on.
It's going to stay on. So what we would do is we would do this. We'd go back into the triggers,
make another one,
create a new. We'll go to my triggers and create a new one, and I'm going to say if the motion sensor goes low, then the relay goes low as well. Oop. There you go. And we'll call the strobe off.
Oop. Is that first one checked?
Yeah, off.
There we go.
So now I've got two triggers, and that's when the motion sensor turns on, turn on the relay. And the second one is when the motion sensor is off, turn off the relay. And good call, though, because you do have to do that. A computer's not going to think, well, he told me to turn this on, and now it's off, so therefore I should turn this off. You have to specifically tell it what to do. Now, there was another part of the project. He wanted to receive a notification. And this is why I used Cayenne, because Cayenne lets me do this. If you go back to my screen there, I'm going to create a new trigger. I'm going to – oh, and by the way, see, the other Raspberry Pi just popped in. So it rebooted, and now it's ready for me to mess with it. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new trigger. And I'm going to say if I get motion on that motion sensor, I'm going to call this text. Then, and I can set up a notification. I can send an email or I can send a text message. And I'm going to send a text message. I'm going to send a text message, add a custom recipient. And then you're going to send a message to 555-555-5555.
Hey, that's my number.
Yeah, exactly. And what this will do is it's the same thing. Every time I trigger that, it's going to go ahead and send a text message saying, hey, I just got triggered. which is why it's important to play with the delay, because you don't want it to do it over and over again.
Yeah, maybe, that will get really annoying.
Yeah, one might be enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've set this to go to be triggered and then trigger the same Raspberry Pi, but you could have you've got three Raspberry Pis here.
Precisely.
You could have it trigger something on some other Raspberry Pi that's not even in the same building.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. So let's show you how we would do that. We're going to go ahead and add a new trigger. And I'm going to say, all right, if we're going to call this the Patrick trigger.
Uh-oh. Watch out, everyone.
If on the Raspberry Pi 2 or Raspberry Pi 1 to 2B, the motion sensor goes off on my Raspberry Pi 3, which could be an entirely different state, different country, doesn't matter, as long as it's connected to the internet in some way, go ahead and restart the device. I don't have anything set up on the Pi yet. But
all right,
but yeah, and see, this is the kind of stuff that I can do. Or it doesn't have to be a motion sensor. I can say, hey, you know what? When the storage on my Raspberry Pi 1 goes down to, say, 28%, then activate a light on...
Yeah.
Let's do this. I can set it up so that if... Get rid of that. If on the Raspberry Pi... This is the newest one. This is the one we just did. So let's say if storage gets down to 28% on that Raspberry Pi, then on the Raspberry Pi that's in the breadboard, we're going to go ahead and trigger the relay.
Yeah.
So. And there we go. And that's... Patrick, trigger. Save. Use storage below.
Yes.
And there we go. Yes. I did select a trigger. This is... Cayenne, I'm going to have words with you. That was interesting. Normally works.
Yeah, I trust you.
Yeah. Now, the nice thing about this setup is once I start getting the pieces, because on my actual account, I have like 30 different devices. I have Arduinos, I have ESPYs, I have Raspis. I can make them trigger each other, which is not sometimes something you do late at night when you get tired and you have them just kind of do a disco rave, because that was bad. But it's an incredibly powerful operating system. And one more thing, if you go back, Alex, I like this too. If I go back to my dashboard for, say, the Raspberry Pi 3, I can actually reboot, shut down, or remote access it from here. So anywhere in the world, I can check the specs of my Raspberry Pi, and I can go ahead and like do a safe shutdown. And let's go and do a safe shutdown for this Raspberry Pi 2.
And you said that the Raspberry Pi is behind your own firewall. So this isn't actually reaching out to them. It's the Raspberry Pi's checking in and saying,
correct,
hey, any updates for me?
Right. And it doesn't, it's a very short, very minimal traffic. But it's essentially saying, any update. Now, that does mean that there's going to be a little bit of a delay, because it does have to ping out. You'll notice, actually, if you could do that two-shot again, Alex. So if I click this, that's pretty immediate.
Right, but you're...
But see, no, there was a little bit of a lag.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're clicking too often, it won't go. So, see, now I'm just confusing it. Because the updates keep changing every time it's going out. So just know that this is not a Twitch system. It's not as if you can do real-time control of, say, like a robotic arm. You wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah.
However, to trigger certain events, to trigger actuators, to get data from sensors, this is a fantastic system. And I think what Cayenne wants is they really want you to play with this and create applications, and then you can sort of pay for the more expansive and more consistent service that they offer.
Okay.
By the way, entirely free. So just go to mydevices.com. That will get you to Cayenne. One other cool thing I think we need to show off on this is the fact that they actually have a mobile app.
Yeah.
So if you did want to play with remote controlling things, if you go to the overhead here, Alex. So this is I'm actually logged into this right now, and if the app hasn't timed out, I actually have control. Just like I would from a desktop, except this is from a phone. Now, this phone is going through the cellular network right now, so it's not even on the same network as this device. So I can't talk directly to this device. I'm talking to the Cayenne server, and the Cayenne server is telling that what to do.
So you can be off in Rome and setting off the fan here in the studio.
Which is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to have these everywhere. I'm just going to start triggering things. Like, Alex is going to have to go on a hunt to get rid of all of them.
Padres.
Now, we bring this up because we're going to do this a bit more. I'm giving you a bunch of Raspis and Arduinos, and I want to see what you come up with. I'm going to turn this into a finished project so that Hector can actually just print something, drop in a couple of components, and be done. I also thought about this. If he wants his strobe on another side from the motion detector, that actually works really cool because you could put two different devices and they just have them trigger each other.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of how I could build in relays into my idea for the master system display I was talking about earlier. So that might be a thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Using the TWID API.
Of course.
Wow.
Folks, this was just a little bit of a teaser. We are going to give you all the links that you need. But this episode's really easy. Just go to, again, mydevices.com, and you'll drop into the Cayenne system. Apply for a free account and start playing around. If you've got a spare Raspi, and you probably do, or if you've got a spare Arduino with a network shield, which you might have, try this. At the very minimum, it's going to add a tool to your arsenal when you look at actually getting into the IoT in a way that's not going to own your network. Yeah. Folks, until next time. We have all the cleanup stuff to do. Make sure you go to our show page at twit.tv/KH. There you will find the links for mydevices.com as well as the links for the individual pieces that I bought for this prototype project. You're going to see more of this because, again, this is just a start. I need to turn this into something that's actually usably deployable. Also, don't forget that we've got a Google Plus group. Just go to Google Plus and look for Know How. There you will find almost 12,000 Kitas. Those are our know-it-alls. There's a very short approval process to get rid of the spam accounts. But once you're in, you can ask questions. You can answer questions. You can post videos and pictures of your projects. It's just a really good place to enjoy the world of DIY and maker goodness. Don't forget that you can also find us on Twitter. You're going to find me at twitter.com/PadreSJ. And Patrick, where do they find you?
Twitter.com/PDelahanty.
And we have one more member of the crew. You know what? We call him Jimmy Joe. And Jimmy Joe can be found at twitter.com/ANELF3.
It's pronounced Alex.
Jimmy, don't sound so
better.
Also, Padre, for your master systems display, are you going to be using the relays to zap the editors if the show isn't published in X amount of time?
This is a great idea.
I'll do that now. Yeah. We have a zap module we can put in there, probably.
I saw that huge list.
Yeah, it's easy.
Just electrify the chair. Now, until next time, I'm Father Robert Ballasaire.
And I'm Patrick Delahanty.
And now that you know how,
pie it.
Get triggered.
Yeah, it's better.